Now, what did you think you were doing taking Jabe out there?
Oren's smile crumpled for a moment before a young voice saved him.
Don't blame him, Mom. It wasn't his idea.
Annalene glared as Jabe stepped in from outside. The boy paused before Oren.
While Ulbrecht's gone, sir.
Blast, Oren said, shaking his head. I'd hope to rub the big victory in his face.
He looked around the room and raised his voice. Everyone knows the settler's call works now, right? This place is the proof.
A ragged, drunken cheer went up. Annalene ignored it. She slid off the stool and blocked Jabe from reaching the happy crowd.
Jabe, you have to stop.
Stop what?
I'm too tired for the list,
she said, clutching at his shirt.
But let's start with the gorge.
You were killing.
Killing Tuscans.
The boy waved his hands theatrically.
They're not civilized, Mom. They're not anything.
You don't know that, Annalene said.
They're not womp rats that you can shoot for fun.
Jabe wrenched away from her grasp.
They killed Dad. They tried to kill all of us today.
I know, but nothing. I at least did something.
Anger flared in the young man's eyes.
Did you do anything after Dad died?
Annalene froze, staring at her child. He looked more like Danar every day, even as he acted like someone she'd never met.
I did do something after he died,
she said finally.
I opened the store the next day.
In a chillier tone, she added, like he would have wanted. Jabe pushed past his mother. She didn't stop him.
He paused at the bar to speak to Oren in a loud voice, for the benefit of his mother. With Zed laid up, you've got an opening on your lead vaporator team. I'm available.
No, he's not,
Annalene called out from behind him. Drying his hands on a dish towel, Oren smiled awkwardly at the boy.
She calls the tune, son.
Sorry. Oren nodded to Annalene, who didn't respond. A moment later, Oren leaned over and spoke in lower tones.
There's other ways you can help me, I'm sure.
Annalene threw up her hands.
You can help him by cleaning up whatever's left of this place tonight. I'm done.
Grabbing a pre-packed meal from behind the counter and an open bottle, she pushed past her son and trudged through the crowd to her living quarters. The sound from the celebration continued to reverberate throughout the claim and into her household most of the night, but she didn't hear much of it. She ate wearily and dragged herself to bed. As her head hit the pillow, Annalene had one last thought, that she had not seen Callie since her return. But her body rejected any further worries for one day, and her mind surrendered itself to sleep.
Meditation. I don't know what you can see from where you are, Qui-Gon, but I doubt you missed today's trip. No, once again, I wasn't intending for it to be a big production. You don't have to tell me what our mutual teacher used to say. I don't crave excitement or adventure, or rather, I crave them not, as he would have put it. I was going to the store for water, on a day when nobody was supposed to be there. That's all. I thought my tricky moment for the day was running into the little old man from the incident at Anchorhead. He seems to be a regular at the claim. When he didn't remember me, I thought I was free. Instead, I got into a riot and a range war. And I forgot all about the water. And my Eopi. Will there be a galactic incident every time I want to get out of the house? Because I can stay home in that case. Really, it won't be a problem. Then again, it was certainly good I was there, given what happened at the store. I'm not so sure about the second part of the afternoon, though, heading off after Jabe. There wasn't any stopping what occurred there. It's so difficult seeing things like that and doing nothing. But I guess I'd rather see and do nothing than not see at all. I'm missing so much of what's going on in other places. I can't live blindfolded. It's not really the Kenobi way.
Speaking of what I saw, I'm not so sure I liked the sight I saw of Orin Gault today. He had to save face after the compound was attacked. That much I understand. But he wields an awful lot of power here. These people listen to him. He must know that. There's responsibility that goes along with that. Maybe I'm being too harsh. He acted the way he did because his family and friends were in danger. But we both know where that particular excuse can lead. The Tuskens, well, that was another surprise. But maybe it shouldn't have been. I'd met the man Ayak knew long ago and heard the story about him later on. I'm straining to remember more details about that. Maybe later. Then there's Annalene. I was tempted to call her the intrepid Annalene just now, because she seems to be able to deal with whatever horror this planet can imagine. That's what I need to become. Absolutely familiar with all the dangers here. She takes them in stride. Not because she's fearless, but because she knows she has to go on to take care of all the people in her life. That's not a bad role model to have. I guess I can become the intrepid Kenobi if I must. If I'm going to go on, and we both know I must, I'm going to have to find a way to stop tearing myself up over what happened. There's pain, yes, but a lot of it lately is self-inflicted. Like this. You see what I'm holding here? Again. A last remembrance, I've told myself. But I'm putting it away now. And I would be a lot better off if I put it away once and for all and tried to go on. Like Annalene has had to do. I can learn something from her, I think. And yet, when I think about her, I have to consider... Wait. Hold on. Someone's here.
Chapter 22.
Kenobi.
Annalene rubbed her eyes.
What? Kenobi,
Callie said, beaming across a cup of blue milk.
That's his name.
What? Annalene glowered at her daughter.